Welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here, along with my pal Steven Robles, whose life dream has been to be the fourth amigo, along with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase. How you doing, amigo?
I'm doing well. Now listen, Martin Short, Steve Martin. I mean, I'm a fan. I'll be real.
Yeah, who is not a fan? That is a great movie. True. I mean, yes. Yeah, let's talk about that for an hour. So Three Amigos, if you guys haven't seen it,
we'll
save it for later. We have a lot to talk about today, like a lot of news. Like apparently I leave for a week and then all the news happens in the last like several days.
Ton of news for sure. So we will jump into it. First of all, as you listen to this, it is HomePod Mini delivery day. If you got a pre-order in right when they came out. So Andrew and I will have some as you listen, but we don't have them in time for this recording to talk about them. So that'll be next episode. We'll review those. But Andrew, how many, this is what I want to know. How many do you have arriving at your house as our listeners listen to this?
Okay. I did not order that many. I'm starting with two.
Okay.
Starting with two. One here goes in the studio. One's going to go in the bedroom. I do not have a massive house or anything like that. So three HomePods is going to be sufficient, at least for right now. I kind of want to put additional one in my wife's office, especially if she's, you know, going to continue working at home.
Right.
It'll be kind of nice because we can just intercom through the HomePod. So it might be nice to put one in her office as well. So starting with two, but obviously the ship dates have already slipped into like December easily, especially for the space gray version. But I just love that while you guys are listening to this, I'm going to be opening it. I hope everyone is imagining that. You guys are all sitting there listening to a podcast, and Steve and I are just like giddy opening our HomePod minis.
That's right.
And I hope a lot of you guys out there too are opening your HomePod minis because the reviews dropped already.
That's right.
I think like, you know, as we're recording this, the reviews have just started to come out, and there's been so many like phenomenal sound and all these other big Apple-esque words thrown around for the HomePod Mini. So it's cool to see that everyone is really impressed with the device coming out. And obviously, for all of us HomeKit fans, there's so much going on there between Siri and the intercom features and, of course, Thread, which we talked about last week, and we'll talk about that again this week.
But, now, my question, do you ever get a white HomePod?
Yes, I have one now, and I bought another one.
Oh,
I got a regular, my one in the kitchen is white. We have a very... I don't know. I mean, I like the space gray ones. They look cool and all, but I also kind of like, I like clean, I like open. Okay. And if I start getting everything black, it just starts to look dark so quickly. So yeah, I went with the white one. It's in the kitchen and it kind of blends in a little bit more. And we got like gray walls and white ceilings and white everything else, white cabinets, and just kind of
it matches.
Blends in a little more, looks a little lighter, brighter in there. But yeah, I got white ones.
Okay. I've gone all black and I did two black HomePod minis. So I also have two coming as our listeners listen to this, and they will be replacing two Alexas. And so I will be Alexa free home.
Kick them to the curb.
To the curb. Alexa free home by the time our listeners are listening to this. So anyway, next episode, we'll be talking about those. Also, another quick follow-up. I talked about my Morose outdoor plug, and we had a listener specifically ask we review it in a Apple Podcast review. They gave us 5 stars anyway, so we appreciate that. But still been trying to set it up, and to no avail. Now, Tom Kane on Twitter hit us up and said that he has one of these, and it is a Royal PITA, P-I-T-A, which I'll let you understand the acronym, to set up because it only connects to the 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi and all that. So anyway, for those interested in the Morose outdoor plug, it works great as a double plug outlet, but I have no smart features yet. Still haven't been able to get it set up. So anyway, hopefully we'll follow up on that. So before we get into all the releases and news for the week, you were out of town for a little bit, Andrew, and so you have a story?
Yeah, we kind of escaped. Like, we were kind of, like, over everything, so we were like, we need to just get away for a bit. So we ran out of town, and this is, like, a story of, like, what you don't want to happen. You don't want to be me. And that is, when we left, after, like, the first couple days, everything's good, cameras are up, it's great, we're able to watch the pets that were still home, we got the cats on automatic feeders, and we could see them around the house, and I felt comfortable and good because I could see people showing up on the front to deliver packages, I could see our neighbor coming and collecting those packages, I could see, you know, stray animals going through, like, our backyard on the spotlight camera, everything was hunky-dory, or at least as much as it could be, and then our modem went down.
Oh.
My modem
was
gone. It stopped connecting. So no more internet. And I assume all of you know, when there's no internet and you're not at your house, none of your smart things will connect. So I'm like, I'm halfway across the country, all the way across the country, and I'm getting all these alerts. Hey, your Finn water sensor has been offline for 3 days. Your this is offline. Nothing is connecting. No security cameras, no sensors, no smoke detectors. I was in like full on panic mode. Oh, man. And I even had my mother-in-law come over. Didn't get an alert that she was over there for obvious reasons, because my August doesn't tell me someone entered a code. My camera doesn't pick someone up on the front porch. And she goes in, and then I had her reset the routers. And of course, I had her reset the routers, not the modem. And the modem was the issue. And my main takeaway of this, one of the cameras we have in the house is the Abode IOTA. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Abode IOTA actually has a cellular backup that you can do. So not only can you guys get, you know, like 1 to 3 days or something, like day by day paid protection, like paid monitoring of your home, but you can also have that cellular backup option. And this is exactly why I really wish I would have freaking done that before I left. I was just so confident in everything else that it'd all be fine. And then I leave and everything goes down. And I'm kicking myself because I was so worried about everything. I was worried about my animals. I was worried about someone breaking in. I was worried about everything. And it was on my mind like the entire trip. Fortunately, no issues at all. But that is why that cellular backup option on there is great. And it's one of the only ones I know out there that has that feature. And if I would have turned that on, I would have had that. This wouldn't have been a problem. Internet would have gone down. Abode IOTA would have jumped to cellular, and I would have still had all of my footage and been able to at least get alerts if someone had come into the house, because that's like the widest camera in the living room, covering like multiple doors and the largest, you know, kind of expanse of the home.
Yeah.
So that's my story. Don't be me. Huh? If you got an Abode IOTA and you're leaving for an extended period of time, maybe consider doing that whole cellular kind of backhaul option in case your Wi-Fi goes down, because if you're like me, you're going to panic like crazy that something is wrong at your house.
Man, that's wild. It almost makes me tempted to put something on a schedule, like maybe the router and the cable modem, where it like resets once a day if I'm traveling. Like it just power cycles everything. I don't know, it's almost tempting. But anyway, crazy. All right, well, let's hit the news because we got a ton of it. First piece of news, company called Kingping, which is a smart home gadget company. They released a HomeKit compatible air quality monitor. And we've seen a lot of these air quality monitors. I think Akara has one and Eve has one. But this one's really attractive. It is brand new. It has an OLED screen and it works on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, so you can get good connectivity wherever you place it in your home. A little battery thing right there on it. It's wireless, so you don't have to keep it plugged into the wall. Anyway, cool air quality monitor. I'll put a link in show notes if you want to check that out.
It is really cute. So click on the link or look at whatever thumbnail. It's a cute little air monitor. Like, I like it.
Yes, it is pretty cool. So also, Akara launched two more devices. They released another air quality monitor, but also an interesting, a high precision motion sensor. It was released in China, so this is not available yet in the US, but I imagine it will come here soon. But this is like a super powerful motion detector where you can adjust sensitivity and you can make it, you know, very sensitive. Yeah, this would be interesting if you really want, I don't know, super motion detecting in some room. So again, not available just yet here in the United States, but I imagine it will come soon. And we'll put a link in show notes to those as well so you can see what they look like. Now, this next one, really interesting, Level Lock, which we have talked about before, and we have a lot of people that were really interested when it came out. But they are partnering with a group called Omnia to make some new hardware designs and new hardware products, and they look really great. And so there's a link in show notes and an article on Apple Insider about it. Andrew, tell me what you know about these new Level Lock products.
Not too much yet, but basically so Level Lock currently has two products, right? There's the invisible Level Lock, which is very cool and one of the most popular reviews that we had done on a smart home product, HomeKit product. It literally hides completely in your deadbolt. You don't see it at all, but you have full smart control. Then they also came out with the Level Lock Touch, something like that, which adds a touch version so you can walk up to the outside. So it does replace your like the key on the outside, and you can tap it with your wrist or anything like that, or your fob, I believe, and unlock it. But they have those two pieces of actual hardware. And now they've partnered with other companies, so in this case, Omnia, to bring basically their smart home tech to their line of existing door hardware. So there's a few of these guys launching. There's like the Level Touch and Omnia lever set. So you have the Level Touch plus the Omnia lever door handle for like $399, which comes in a couple different finishes. Then there's also the level plus Omnia auxiliary deadbolt, plated lock sets, and tubular handle sets, which I assume is an actual like tube handle and not like a cool handle. So a few cool new products. Shut up, Steven.
Okay. Well, anyways, so that's cool. And next piece is actually the Robin doorbell. We've talked about it before. Andrew actually has one that he'll be testing soon, but our friend at Modern Day Tech actually has a video review of it up. And so I'll put a link in show notes to his review. Really cool. This is a HomeKit secure video doorbell. It's not the most attractive hardware-wise, so you might not want to get this and wait for something a little more attractive. But if you want a HomeKit secure video doorbell right now, the Robin Pro line is available. And here's a video review of it from Modern Day Tech. So link in show notes so you can check that out.
I know. I'm excited to actually see a little bit more about these. I've had mine for a couple of weeks now, but I have not been able to install it. So first off, there's two different versions of the Robin video doorbells. There's like the Robin Pro line, and there's like a compact version. The Pro line, I think, is fairly hideous in terms of doorbells. But the compact version, I think, is much better. It still looks very industrial, but it's not as ridiculous and large as the other one. It's a much more compact design. And I've got one, but it runs over, it uses PoE, power over Ethernet, rather than your normal set of like doorbell wires. Mm. In my case, I don't even have doorbell wires. I've got nothing except for a brick exterior.
Oof, that's tough.
So I've been trying to work out how best to conceal the Ethernet line to run back to their kind of bridge part and the router. So I've got the whole inside part figured out. I got the line run to basically right below the doorbell, like in the basement.
Okay.
But I need to figure out how to get it like up the wall outside and have everything like, you know, hidden, tucked away, clean and professional looking. I'm also likely going to run just a standard like 12 volt power line too at the same time, but I need to figure out how to do it in general, just getting through the brick and everything else. It seems like it's going to be a pain. And between being out of town and Apple's like onslaught of product releases, I've had little time to figure out how to run an Ethernet line.
For sure.
So I've got a review coming. I'm actually very excited to have a HomeKit secure video doorbell, even if it isn't my like first choice. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I do like it. I like, there's a personalized nameplate on it and everything. It's a neat little guy. I have it sitting here on my desk. It's still chunky. I mean,
sure.
Chunky. It's like twice the size of my Arlo one that I've got.
Right.
But yeah, I'll be super interested. I might just kind of set it up inside and see how it looks and everything, just to kind of play around with it before actually getting that PoE line run. But
yeah.
So stay tuned, everyone. More stuff to tease you with that may happen in the future.
Very nice. Well, something that is coming that was teased on a previous episode, Philips Hue is finally updating their Hue Bridge. An update should be rolling out to, if you have one, all customers soon, that brings that HomeKit adaptive lighting to all the Hue products. So if you have Hue products and a Hue Hub, go ahead and check out to see if you have that firmware update, and then you can get adaptive lighting.
Yeah, you guys should let us know if anyone gets this to work, because right now, at this point, I don't have it. So basically, people have seen this rolling out. I don't have it currently on my stuff. Like, I have no updates available. And iCulture says the update is like version like 194.113.2070. Just remember that in your head, by memory. And as long as you've got that firmware on your Ambiance bulbs, then you should have that adaptive lighting. Go into the Home app after that update, you'll see the adaptive lighting is kind of there that you can enable it, and then you just choose it from the color picker. Boom, you're good. But right now, we don't have that update. Even though it appears to be rolling out, we don't have it at the time recording, but I want to know from you guys if anyone gets it to work in which bulbs specifically you're getting it to work on. Is it the white Ambiance, the white and color Ambiance? Is it their floodlight ones or like their downlight can lights? There's so many bulbs out there. I just want to know which one it is. I mean, like they said, the Ambiance bulbs, which covers so many of the Hue line. So let us know if you guys get that update and which bulbs it's working on.
So in the Hue app, do you go to the software update area or the hub? Because I just opened my Hue app and it said like, oh, maybe there's an update. But
yeah, that's literally it. You just open up the Hue app, go down to settings, and then scroll down to the bottom. And under app, the app titling, it says software update.
Right.
It'll spin for just a moment to check for the updates. And then you'll see all the bulbs in your home There will be ones that are like marked as unreachable if you have some that are unreachable, which I do because I didn't disconnect the ones that I didn't get rid of. Nice. I have automatic updates on, so it actually should be doing these automatically for me. And then below that, it'll show me all the ones that are updated or if any have updates that are currently pending and I want to manually do them. But I've gone through this and I don't have the updates yet. Actually, it says it's doing an update right now, but I have no idea what it's updating. It's not super transparent.
What was the number?
Oh, you don't remember it? Why don't you remember it?
I do not.
The version number is 1194113 2070.
Yeah, nope. Don't have that. Womp. And it says no updates available, so.
Yeah. So everyone tell us. Oh, well. Tell us what you guys got. We're going to crowdsource the answers here.
Okay, and our next piece of news, Roku is launching AirPlay 2 and HomeKit to some of their devices, some of the TVs, some of the even Roku like stream bars and things like that. So there's an article by Wes on AppleInsider.com listing all the devices getting the HomeKit and AirPlay 2 support. So you can check that out. If you have any Roku stuff, let us know if it brings more functionality to your life in the HomeKit life. And then finally, we talked about Thread last week, and it's like they heard us, Andrew. It's like these companies knew we were going to talk about it, and so they jumped on the gun. And both Eve and Nanoleaf have announced that they are bringing Thread technology and compatibility to their devices. Eve actually is going to do a firmware update to their door and window sensors that will enable Thread. So I guess if you already have, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you already have an Eve door and window sensor and it gets this firmware update, it will enable Thread on your already Eve device that you have in your house?
Absolutely. Yep. Just through a firmware update.
That's awesome.
You will have Thread support. And Eve is planning to bring this to pretty much its entire lineup. Eve is almost entirely Bluetooth-based.
Right.
Which some people did not like before. But now that they're bringing Thread to everything, that is amazing. Because it's like you're getting the best of both worlds there. And a lot of companies like, you know, Nanoleaf's new Essentials line, Bluetooth is that kind of that backup option for when Thread's not available, set it up through Bluetooth, everything like that. But they are launching it with the Eve door and window sensor. And then the European Eve Energy models, I think, are also getting it pretty quickly. Following those two, then we'll see updates for the Eve Aqua and the Eve Thermo. Those will roll out.
Nice.
And then eventually it's going to come to the rest of the product line. Honestly, I want to give such a huge, like, high five. Well, we can't touch people right now. So like air high fives to the Eve team, because I could see companies being like, oh, we're going to launch a new version that enables Thread,
right,
to kind of help drive sales and, you know, kind of push people to a new product just for that Thread support.
Yep.
But instead, Eve is updating. This is like one of their first products. Like the Eve door and window sensor was one of the first products that they launched with HomeKit. Like one of the first like three that they did in that same time period. And here we are years later, and they're bringing Thread in a free firmware update. That is incredible to me. And I am just so impressed that they're able to maintain that level of support with new functionality years and years after release. So yeah, if you guys want to try something else out with Thread, pick up that door and window sensor or the Nanoleaf items, which we're actually going to do a review here in a few minutes.
That's right. So as in addition to Thread coming to those Eve products, Nanoleaf is now launching a light strip and some other things that include HomeKit and the Thread technology. And you have something in hand or that you have in your house, Andrew. So why don't you tell us about Nanoleaf?
Yeah, so Nanoleaf, you guys know from their existing products. Nanoleaf almost did things in reverse from a normal company. So a normal company would be like, oh, let's start with this smart bulb and then expand to weird products. Nanoleaf is like, no, we're starting off with the weird things. We're going to do triangles and hexagons and touch panels. Like all of those huge lights that you see in the back of like every YouTuber video ever, or streamer videos. Like they're just everywhere. They're really cool. They've taken off. Well, now they're like, okay, we've done the weird stuff. Now let's go ahead and do the
normal stuff.
Normal stuff.
Right.
So Nanoleaf is launching a light bulb and a light strip as part of the Essentials line. They say these are just the beginning, so we're likely to see additional normal lights from, you know, Nanoleaf down the line. They're like starting with these, and then they're going to expand that out. They are launching as Apple Store exclusives because, like you said, these guys are launching with Thread support as well as Bluetooth. So yeah, I have both of these here in my hands and I've been testing them out. Mm-hmm. We can test the, you know, the normal functionality, but we cannot test the Thread functionality yet. Really, I mean, we're waiting for HomePod Mini and kind of seeing how that all kind of goes together. But we do have the light bulb and the light strip. So starting with the light bulb, I cannot pronounce this word.
we practiced before we started. You got it.
No. This word, Steven, I'm sending it to you.
Oh.
This word here. So the light bulb is not a normal shape. Like they didn't, because it's still nanoleaf, they're not, oh, we're not going to make a round light bulb. We're going to make a rhombus, I'm going to give up, something decahedron.
Oh my goodness. This is a word?
That's a word. Rhombic dodecahedron.
Yeah. Dodecahedron is the last part. Right.
Okay, well, I got that one. Wow, everything else is where my tongue trips over itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is the shape of the bulb atop. So it has like a normal, like standard base, standard going up a little bit, and then this kind of supposed to be eye-catching top of this thing. Like they literally say in their marketing, like, oh, it looks really cool when it's in a lamp without a lampshade. And I stuck it in a lamp without a lampshade. I'm like, well, that's stupid looking. Like it's got a cool looking top. Like it does look neat, but you still see like the white kind of base of the bulb,
right,
which is covered in like cautions and HomeKit pairing code and everything like that. I'm like, it still doesn't look really that cool. Like it still looks like a light bulb that should have a shade. Mm. And while the kind of the nifty dodecahedron shape on the top looks neat when it's lit up, the light kind of diffuses the shape and you can't see as much of the actual kind of angles of it.
Okay.
That's kind of like, the shape is neat, but it's not going to be like a selling feature. I'm buying that one because it's got that shape atop. But I do like that Nanoleaf did something different. They cared enough to do something different to the machine or to the bulb. So the bulb itself, there are a few things to know. These guys are very bright. Very bright. Some of the brightest that we've seen. So looking at some of the other kind of top smart bulbs in the space, if we look at like the Hue bulb and LifeX, both of those guys are 800 lumens at their maximum. The LifeX bulb, almost if like the designers were like, we can do better, but also just a little bit, they're maxing out at 806 lumens.
Wow. Okay.
So these guys are 6 lumens brighter than your standard smart bulb from Hue and LifeX, which is good. I mean, Hue has been working a long time to get their brightness up because it was lower. Hue is also launched recently. We talked about on the show that ridiculous like 1600 lumen bulb. So this is dimmer than that one, but this does the full color spectrum and everything. So it is a very, I mean, it's basically the brightest bulb from the kind of the big players, mm-hmm. even if it's just by a little bit. So I do appreciate that. Nanoleaf says they will be bringing adaptive lighting to this bulb. It's even on the packaging, like advertising adaptive lighting, but that's not here at launch. So right now you can't use HomeKit's adaptive lighting, but you can use Nanoleaf's circadian lighting, which is just basically their own version of adaptive lighting, where it's going to automatically change the temperature, the color, warmth of the bulb throughout the day, kind of trying to match your circadian rhythm. It works. It does that. And I like it compared to Apple's because you can actually go in there and change it. You can actually kind of tinker with it a little bit and set your times and more customize that process, where Apple's is entirely self-driven through HomeKit and does it all on its own. But once these guys are updated, it should support that circadian or Apple's adaptive lighting as well as Nanoleaf's own circadian rhythm lighting version. There's a bunch of nice little features in the Nanoleaf app to kind of go along with these guys. There's basically the whole color wheel, and you can even enter hex codes for color, which is kind of neat. Like you usually don't see that with, you know, HomeKit products. Unless you're using a third-party home app, like Home Plus, I think you can possibly do that, but not as many. So there's a nice little spot where you can choose that. You can choose your color, warmth, all of that, including circadian lighting. And otherwise, it is basically a light bulb. So it's going to be your standard light bulb, control with Siri, HomeKit, all of that. But I do like that it does have a different design. I do like that it supports Thread. I do like that it is basically the brightest one out there. And the price is not bad at all.
The Essentials light bulb is $20, the light strip is $50, and the extensions for the light strip are $25.
So looking at the light strip is also very nice. So it's a pretty standard light strip as far as things go. Extendable, like you just said with the extensions, to make it longer. All of that kind of stuff is in there. Has your normal kind of bridge and connection features. It too supports thread, just like the standard Essentials bulb does. This thing is also incredibly bright. Eve light strip, which was previously one of the brightest, like they really wanted it to be a functional light strip, not just for accent color. Right. That one was 1800 lumens and was basically the brightest one that we had tested. And now here's Nanoleaf, which is beating both the 1600 lumen hue, the 1800 lumen Eve, with 2200 lumens for this light strip.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a very, very bright light strip. So, like, again, high fives all around, team, for like that one of the brightest bulbs out there and one of the brightest light strips out there. It also has just incredible dimming all the way down to like 1%. It's an awesome light strip. And I really want to see how these guys work with thread. So we don't have our HomePods minis yet, but once we do, we will be able to test that kind of thread functionality a little bit more. This is also kind of a super minor thing. The packaging is really cool. They nailed the packaging. The full review is posted, so you guys can follow the link in the show notes. I almost said description again. The show notes. They have like this cutout. It's like a white slipcover over a super colorful box for both of them. And they have like cutouts along the shapes of the light strips. So like the products, so, like the light bulb, the top there, all like the little holes are cut out and you can see like reds and yellows, and the light strip, you can see like blues and greens coming through the light strips. It's a really cool little effect. So these guys are going to look really nice on Apple Store shelves because they're launching as that Apple Store exclusive.
That is really cool. Well, check out the links in show notes to learn all about more of these Nanoleaf stuff. I actually don't have any Nanoleaf products at the moment, but this stuff is pretty tempting. I might have to...
I mean, these are cheap. Honestly, I think these are cheap. $20 for those bulbs that are like the brightest out there. I mean, what's a hue color bulb? Like $60, $50?
Yeah.
These things are undercutting by so much. And then the light strip, way brighter than hue, brighter than Nan or than Eve. And yet it's $50. Yeah. Hue's 80. Eve, I'm pretty sure, is like 80. $50. And they have thread.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, that is a win.
Yeah, that's an awesome deal. Well, anyway, check all the links and show notes about that. And let us know if you grab any Nanoleaf products. Why don't you tweet us your setup? You got some of those hexagon, deca, you know, those things, the hedrons. I'm just going to call them the hedrons for sure.
Yes, the hedrons. That's what the cool kids are calling them these days. You check out those hedrons over there.
All right, well, let's hit some listener questions and feedback real quick. And we have a few here. So the first one, this is Mark on Twitter. He recently came across our podcast and found it, and he appreciates it. So thank you for listening, Mark. And he's also, looks like he's trying the Vivint Homebridge integration that I talked about last time, which is awesome. So he is asking, can you fade lights in over a certain amount of time using HomeKit? And so I think we might have talked about this before. Unfortunately, there is not a way in HomeKit or Siri shortcuts to set light bulbs to fade in over an amount of time. It's just not something in HomeKit or the Home app built in right now. But depending on what smart lights you have, I just looked in the Philips Hue app. If you have a hub and you have the Philips Hue bulbs, those you can actually set up an automation directly in the Hue app for your lights. And you can choose up to 30 minutes to fade in. You can choose like 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 30 minutes. And you could say start at 8 a.m. and over 30 minutes fade in all my lights to 100%. And I'm sure there are other apps that allow you to do that, like the actual quote-unquote first-party apps. I'm not sure about Eve or Wemo, but I definitely looked in Hue right now and you can do that over 30 minutes. But that automation is only for your Hue stuff in the Hue app, and it's not going to talk to your other HomeKit devices or other HomeKit lights. So this is a feature that I would love to see Apple integrate, some kind of like overtime fading them in, even if it's just like a minute or two. It would be nice to kind of have that slow fade in. So Unfortunately, not a way to do it built into HomeKit right now, but if you have certain lights like Hue, you can at least do it up to 30 minutes. Our next tweet is actually not a question, but Alberto Olivo tweeted us a picture. He was having issues with his Schlage smart lock and the connection. It was kind of losing connection, seemed to be out of range, and he was asking, does moving a HomePod closer to it help? And he's saying it seemed to solve it. I'll put a picture in show notes. I mean, he put this HomePod like right next to the door. You know, it's just like a few feet away.
Yeah, I think it's actually balancing it on the doorknob to get it to work.
That's right. He hung it from the ceiling.
Yeah.
No, it's on his desk, which is very close to the door. But he is saying that moving the HomePod closer to the door actually helped the connectivity to that Schlage smart lock. So if you've been having issues with a smart lock or some other HomeKit device losing connectivity, try moving. If you have a HomePod or a new HomePod mini coming, try moving it closer to that device and see if that helps. I know for me, I'm having issues with a couple devices, actually. I have an Akara light switch that I've been losing connection to, but it needs an Akara hub. And I have my G2H camera in the same room as it now, and it's still struggling. It is behind a bookcase. I don't know if that would be an issue. But anyway, maybe I'll try and move some stuff, move some furniture and see if that helps. But anyway, if you have a lock or some device that you've been having trouble getting connected to, and it doesn't work on a hub, it actually works directly to your home hub, Apple TV or HomePod, try moving your HomePod closer and see if you can work it out. It should help.
I'm glad that Alberto figured that out without us. Look at that.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't even need us. What are we even here for? Everyone stop listening.
Wait a minute. I wouldn't go. Wait, whoa.
Don't listen to us, guys.
No.
Solve your own problems. You'll feel better about it.
No. This is a crowdsourcing community. You know, I would say the HomeKit community is passionate about their stuff. It's pretty amazing. You know, we get awesome engagement. So if you do find solutions, we would love to tell all of our listeners. I say the world, it's a little audacious, but you know, tell all the people that listen to HomeKit Insider how you solved it. So anyway, keep sending it in. Well, thank you, Alberto. Kudos to you. And now this last question, I actually have some bad news for this listener. Marion actually sent us an email, and she's talking about she has some devices that she just bought. One of them is actually a turntable, so an LP record player, you know, turntable with RCA connections out. She also got a Denon AVR receiver, which I have a Denon receiver as well. Her receiver has HomeKit and AirPlay 2. She's also getting some HomePod minis, and she wants to be able to use all this in conjunction. You have some bad news and some worse news. No, I mean, the good news is you have great devices for AirPlay. So your Denon receiver is actually AirPlay and HomeKit compatible. And if you're using your iPhone or your iPad, you can send stuff over AirPlay to your home theater system right from the receiver. But her question specifically was she wanted to plug the turntable into the receiver and somehow get the turntable to sound on all the speakers in the home. So kind of use AirPlay to send the turntable stuff everywhere. And unfortunately, the Denon receiver doesn't really work this way. You can't put something into the Denon receiver and the receiver then sends out AirPlay to like a HomePod speaker. The AirPlay 2 technology in the Denon receiver is one way only, meaning you can send stuff to the receiver to play on the home theater system. With AirPlay 2, you can send it to multiple HomePods and your receiver. So like from your iPhone, you'll be able to send music or a podcast to your home theater receiver and HomePod simultaneously. But there is no out, there's no AirPlay out signal from the receiver to the HomePod. So it's not like you could play a movie and on your, you know, Denon receiver and it's empowering your home theater system and then send it to your HomePods. Now, the one caveat there is if you have an Apple TV, you can actually use the Apple TV to send content to your HomePods and your home theater system at the same time. So if you wanted to play a movie and the movie goes to all your HomePods around your house in addition to the home theater system, you can do that from the Apple TV specifically. But going back to the turntable, there is not a way to get that turntable to play on the HomePods. So unfortunately, I do not think you're going to get that turntable to play through a HomePod speaker in any way. You can connect that turntable directly to the Denon receiver, and it will play through your home theater speakers that are connected to the Denon receiver. But there is no way to connect your HomePods as an out device to the Denon receiver. You know, the Denon receiver just can't send it out. So some bad news there. You won't be able to play the turntable on those HomePods, but you can connect it to the Denon specifically. I also tried to look up, I know Sonos actually has this device where you can make old speakers AirPlay compatible. It's basically just like an AirPlay receiver, but it's, again, the opposite way that you need. You know, you can't plug your turntable into this thing and send the signal to your HomePods. This is just if you have old speakers, you can plug it into the Sonos device, and then you can AirPlay to those speakers. But again, doesn't solve the turntable problem. So I'm sorry, Marion, you won't be able to get that turntable on your HomePods. You can just plug it into your receiver directly, analog, RCA, the red and whites, directly in, and play it through your home theater system only.
It's kind of funny how many times that we've actually gotten questions of, how do I get my turntable to play through AirPlay? It's a common thing that, I mean, there is basically, the problem lies with AirPlay in that there are no real AirPlay transmitters other than media devices themselves, including the Apple TV or Roku. There's just no way to send audio out. Like, maybe a really ugly way of getting that to work would be connecting the turntable to your Mac and maybe being able to AirPlay from your Mac to your HomePod minis.
That is true.
But talk about an ugly solution. I mean, you have to have your Mac within cable's distance of your turntable, which maybe if it's like on your desk or like a studio area or something like that, or lounge area, maybe it's a possibility. But you're going to be talking about adapter. I mean, because what, those coming out RCA or something, you need like an RCA to...
Yeah, it's RCA.
3.5 millimeter input, yeah, stereo jack, and then AirPlay out from your Mac, which has to be on at all times, and it's not elegant by any means.
And I don't think that would be a built-in ability. You'd probably need something like Loopback. Loopback is software made by Rogue Amoeba, and it allows you to basically take any audio input and push it out somewhere else. And you even might need another AirPlay third-party app to make that work. But I guess you could if you had all that, but that's a pretty inelegant solution. And I'm not sure exactly that's what you're going for, Marion. So
yeah, I think the main reason why is because with the transmit, like, you need an interface. So if you put, if there was a way to do like kind of AirPlay from the turntable to a speaker, how are you choosing that speaker? You need some sort of interface to choose what that destination is going to be. Now, we see how you do it with HomePod. HomePod appears inside of your like control center with other your media devices, where you can choose it and then choose where its output is, similar to how, you know, Apple TV would work. But I don't think Apple has really fully opened that spec up to other players. I mean, there's just not a lot of like players out there that aren't an Apple TV or something. So I'm pretty sure, like with the original AirPlay, there were maybe receivers out there, maybe, or transmitters, sorry. But yeah, AirPlay 2, different beast, not anything like that I've seen, and only ugly solutions to get the job done.
Anyway, sorry about that, Marion, but let us know how you eventually get it hooked up to that Denon receiver and playing through your home theater system. I believe that should work flawlessly. And so, yeah, let us know. Maybe take a picture of that setup, too, and tweet at us. You can tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. You can also email us there. We'd love to interact with you. You can also use the hashtag HomeKitInsider. Hashtag HomeKitInsider. Ask us questions, feedback, pictures of your setup, your projects. We'd love to hear about them. Thank you to everyone who gives us amazing 13-star reviews in Apple Podcasts. Some of you do it every week, and you guys are awesome. Keep doing that if you haven't yet. We'd appreciate that support. And don't forget, next week we'll be talking about the HomePod minis and even some more exciting announcements and news. Tune in next week, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.